live from Liverpool, we need to talk about ghosts with Kevin Eustace.
It's the most. It's not, you know, I was, you know what I was going to burst into, of course, the most wonderful time of the week, the sermon, which is Sunday, but it's not, I couldn't even lie to you, I can't lie to you people, what can I say? It's the weekend sometime, as you'll know, because you're listening to this, but for me, this is indeed a Wednesday Eve, yes, on 9/11, yeah, a very memorable day in history, and our thoughts go out with everyone affected. Seriously, can't make light of that. Why would you want to? But yeah, it is 9/11. That's not why I'm doing it, by the way. It's not going to be one of them weird segues where I go, and let's talk about something really inappropriate. No, it's not. It's just the simple fact that I have this afternoon off work. Becca's working late. We're going to the Lake District on this weekend as well. The Lake District, because we do like to go to where nature says, hey, come look at me, come smell my armpits and look at my unshaven legs. And we say, yes, I do like you, nature. And we pitch a tent up, although we're going to be in a caravan. And we go roaming in the gloaming. Lovely, lovely, lovely. How the demon waxing their armpits are you? I do hope you're well. And we've had, still had a lot of correspondence, albeit only a few days in between shows. Well, for me, for you guys, it's a week, you know, this is technically time travel, I suppose. But we have had quite a few comments already made on the EVP, which played out last week's show. And a lot of people are saying, is it belching? It sounds like someone having a Red Bull burp to me. But I guarantee, well, I can't guarantee you that, can I? I would say, in my humble opinion, it is not, although it does sound like a belch. You need to see it with the video, and then you will be able to understand the that when you hear the belch, as you're calling it, not me, when you hear that belchy sound very close to the microphone, it can't be anyone unless they brought a third person into the room and have said, we're going to talk in the background, and if you go over there and have a good belch. So I may have to ask Kayla if it's okay to share the actual video that she shared with me. There's nothing rude on it, so I wouldn't imagine why, unless, of course, it is a belch, and then, you know, maybe that's classed as rude. I don't know. But no, I don't think it's a belch. I think it is, of course. I mean, what's more obvious? Is it the belch after drinking Red Bull, or is it the devil himself? And obviously, I side with the devil. Not in life, just in case Jesus is listening here to this naughty Catholic boy. Anywho, so I do want to thank you for your correspondence, and if you've got in touch and sent us stories. Now, you'll remember last week, we had an email, was it from Katie? I think it was from Katie, wasn't it? Katie Clarkson. It wasn't Katie Clarkson. Maybe I got that right. Let's just check. I think it could have been Katie Clarkson. Katie Clarkson's probably listening to this now going, hey, that's me, man. Oh my God. I don't think she is. I really don't think she is. No, we got an email last week from Katie Clayton, of course, and she sent in 5 wonderful stories. And what we're going to do is we only read out, I think, 2 of them last week, didn't we? So we're going to read out the remainder of her stories this very minute, this very moment right here now. And don't forget, if you do want to send your stories in, send them to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. And Sir Kevin of Eustaceshire, will read them out. Has anything else happened this week that you need to be aware of? Oh, no. I mean, you'll have seen in the news, of course, that the UK has absolutely gone to pot in terms of politically. We don't like to talk about politics over here because we're shit at it, which is evident, isn't it? Yeah. So we don't know what's going on. The last, currently on this Wednesday, where we're up to date, is good old Boris Johnson. Looks a bit like a plant pot. Is a plant pot. He's decided, as you may have seen, that he's going to close down the government. Yes, going to close down or prorogue it, because we can't say close down the government in the UK. It sounds far too common. So we're going to prorogue the government for 5 weeks, with the point being that anyone who wants to put up a fight against leaving the EU without a deal doesn't have time to do it, because he's an arse. And the latest news today is that this turns out it's illegal. So yeah, what will happen next? Who knows? But I'll tell you something terrifying. The UK police force have been tweeting out, no reason. But have you thought of ever putting an emergency bag together in case there's an emergency? Yes, I'm being deadly serious. The UK police and Scottish police have started releasing tweets of a picture of what they're referring to as a go bag. Yeah, saying it should contain copies of important travel documents. Water, radios, torches, whistles, food, batteries, you know, things that you need in an apocalypse. Well, the police are now telling us that we need that. So when this riots inevitably happen here in the UK and people are eating their relatives. All of my US listeners, of which like 80% of you are US listeners. I mean, and I do love our UK listeners, of course, and listeners from around the world. But anyone who isn't from the UK, do fear for me and my UK listenership when we eventually go cannibal and go rogue and start cooking pheasants in the middle of the street. I know you're probably thinking, as if you have wild pheasants, but you know what? Sometimes we get wild pheasants. I'm not even joking. We do around here anyway, in a city centre of all places, pheasants. Anyway, send your stories to talkaboutghosts at hotmail.com, and if I'm alive, I will read them. Now, let's get to Katie's stories. Now, you'll remember, I said that I was going to read two out last week. I didn't, I read one, so we've still got four to go. We're going to get rid of all four, and I mean that in the nicest possible way. Get rid of. How fucking rude, Kevin. And you've just swore. You know what? I need to go to confession. Bloody hell. Oh, you've done it again. Anyway, these are Katie's wonderful little stories. Okay, now let's listen to them. Story two. Of course, you remember last week she had the story about the vanity mirror on the table. And then I jumped in with mine like some big idiot and then moved on to something else because I forgot. But story two. I was playing with my neighbour, Julia. We were both about 6 years old at the time and we were all downstairs in the house. My dad was out at work and my mum and Nana were in the kitchen. There was a small toilet downstairs under the staircase and another toilet upstairs at the back end of the house. Whilst we were playing, Julia gets up to go to the downstairs loo, but she comes into the kitchen to my mum and Nana after opening and closing the downstairs toilet door. She asks my mum, "Where's the other toilet?" My mum answers, knowing there's no one else in the house, "Why don't you just use that one under the stairs, darling?" Julia replies, "I can't use that one because there's a lady in there." Hello. My mum looks at Nana in disbelief and directs the child upstairs to the other loo. Meanwhile, checking the downstairs loo, there's nobody there, baby. I added the baby in. That's horrible. Why would, you know, the thing is though, I do like the way your mum and your nan went, "Oh, fair enough, use the one upstairs then." Because I know that my mother and nan would have went, "There's no one there, you fool. Get in there or I'll lock you in." Just like that kid on Sixth Sense. Anyway, story three. Another time, years later, we were all awoken in the dead of the night to the sound of Billie Jean by Michael Jackson blasting from our CD stereo downstairs with the volume turned up to its absolute maximum. The time was exactly midnight. Imagine that song waking you up a full blast, that punchy drum beat piercing the nighttime stillness. Okay, I will. Anyway, we all come out of our respective rooms onto the upstairs landing, rubbing our eyes as the deafening song continues, wondering which one of us is playing the music, but we see we're all accounted for. In my memory, and I'm around 10 years old, we all peer over, at the time of course, we all peer over the banister to look down into the blackness downstairs, and, following my dad, all creep downstairs to find nothing at all. Turn the stereo off and all go back to bed. We still talk about that to this day and how creepy it was. I will say, Katie, that when you say we all crept downstairs, I do have a vision of you doing it to the beat of dum 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 bum bum chicka cha chicka bum bum chicka cha, but in tune. That's a crazy story, though. I like that. Story four. Many years later, we had moved out of that big old house and we downsized to a smaller but still beautiful Victorian house. Less things happened here, but a couple of things I can remember freaking me out. There was a cupboard under the stairs that had a latch you needed to jig to open. I think she means just move around in case there's any like ex-Titanic sailors there going, "Oh, you had to do a dance to open the door." When you needed the vacuum cleaner or more importantly, board games. Board games. However, randomly, when we were standing in the kitchen, which the layout meant you could see down the hallway to where the cupboard was, the door to this difficult cupboard would silently swing open by itself with no problems at all. That is scary. We used to joke that there was a ghost and his name was Henry. When it would swing open, we would say, "Get back in there, Henry." Not sure, but maybe we were more accurate than we realised. Yes, I bet you were. That is scary. I have nothing funny to say about that, except for maybe it was Henry the Hoover. No, not funny. Story five. Now, this story is not much of a ghost story. Right, I won't read it then. Anyway, have you been? No, joke a riddle. Let's see. Not much of a ghost story, but I remember how freaked out I felt afterwards. When I was about 14, I moved from my bedroom upstairs with all the other bedrooms to the room downstairs right at the back of the house. That looked out onto our garden, in brackets, an extension on the property. I was very happy there, being able to play my music past midnight, etc. One night I was quite happily hanging in my room past midnight when I suddenly got a strange feeling. I turned the music down to hear better and thought I heard shuffling outside my bedroom door. I said, "Hello?" thinking my mum, dad or younger brother, 11 years of age, had come downstairs and seen my light on, but no one answered. Feeling unnerved, I slowly opened my door to reveal blackness of the dark house, and there was my younger brother standing there in the darkness, just facing the wall. What? Fetch a priest. Just facing the wall. Let me see. I jumped silently when I saw him, as he scared the life out of me. I'm not surprised. And asked him what he was doing there in the dark. He didn't answer, but turned to face me and walked up to the threshold of my room where I was standing. This is terrifying. And stared through me as if he didn't see me. He had a look more of worry / confusion on his face, and his eyes were open and unblinking. What the hell? Even though he'd never sleepwalked in his life, I had heard if someone is sleepwalking, you shouldn't wake them, but just tell them to go back to bed. So I said quietly, "Jack, I think it's time you go back to bed, don't you?" Without looking at me, he blinked a couple of times, turned around, his arms still by his sides, and shuffled back through the length of the dark house back to his room, slowly and quietly. I watched him through the darkness, not wanting to wake him by switching the lights on to make sure he was safe, and then I closed my bedroom door. I don't think I slept very well in the night that night. I asked him in the morning if he remembered the incident, and he had absolutely no idea. Dear, dear, dear. That is scary. I'll tell you, my, sorry, I just stood on a wire because I'm upstairs. I don't like recording upstairs. But, you know, Becca works from home, so she's got my bloody studio. It's really her office. My studio all locked up with her in it. So I'm upstairs in the haunted flat. Right. But yeah, my nephew, who is about 14 now, I think. Good uncle, I think. But when he was a baba and used to live in my dad's with us, I remember hearing like mumbling from his room, like, when he was about two, actually. And I went in. This is about 9 o'clock at night. He went to bed about seven, walked in the room, and he was sat up in bed facing the wall, like gesturing with his arms, with his eyes closed, and going like, and I know he was just dreaming, but honest to God, if he wasn't my nephew, seriously, he would have been in the middle of a salted circle and there would have been fire involved. It was terrifying. I poo you not. Anyway, she continues with her email. "Thanks for making a great podcast and keep up the good work. You always bring a smile to my day." Aw, thank you, Katie. Katie, from London, but living and listening from Perth, Western Australia. Well, thank you, Katie. I wonder if you may know of the place, the Baker's Dozen from last week. Yes, maybe you do. I'm sure you do. We all know of a Baker's Dozen. Oh, speaking of which, is anyone watching Bake Off? Ah, about three of you have said yes there. I watch it because Becca likes it, and now I've got a bit addicted to it. Yeah. So I'm going to go on it next year. I'm going to apply. I can't cook, and I can't bake even. Can't do anything. I can make cereal, and I've made two bowls of noodles before. Yep, so you know where you're boiling water onto some dried noodles for about a minute. Done it well, I think. So I think Bake Off's the next logical step. But I do think I'm going to reply. So yeah, what's this space? Sorry, I've had a lot of coffee today. I probably won't apply for Break Off. Break Off. Or Bake Off. And I'll stop popping into this microphone. Pop, pop, pop. Anyway, should we have another story? We've had an email from Michelle Dwight, and I do like that name. Hey, Dwight. So Michelle has written in, and she says, "Hi, Kevin. I really enjoy your show and hearing people's stories." Good, because that's the entire premise. Thank you, Michelle. "I am not a writer nor storyteller, but here it goes. When I was a kid, my brother and my cousins would have sleepovers at my uncle and aunt's house when our parents would have a night on the town. One of those overnights, in the middle of the night, I was awakened by my little cousin Timmy. He was talking while staring out of the window, saying, 'No, Grandma, I can't come with you. Mummy said I have to stay here.' I couldn't see anyone at the window, much less my grandmother, who had already passed away maybe a year before. I watched as he sat there having this one-sided conversation begin to change. He got older." What? "He wasn't exactly growing up in front of me. He stayed the little boy sitting cross-legged. But his facial features morphed into an older boy I wouldn't meet for many years. The conversation just continued. 'No, Grandma. Mummy says I have to stay here. I can't go with you.' He never cried or acted scared. It was just an apologetic refusal over and over while his facial features aged. Sorry, I had to take a swallow then, as you may have noticed. I don't really remember telling him anything, but I feel like I was involved somehow. The memories have faded a bit after all of these decades. We were both taken out of our trance when my older cousin came in and turned on the light to check on us. He told her grandma was at the window and she wanted him to go with her. She held him tight and said he can't go anywhere. I don't remember falling back asleep. It's a family tale that we talk about to this day. As I got older, I learned that the episode I witnessed was not, block capitals, the first time it happened. My aunt had taken him to a curandero. I'll say that again. My aunt had taken him to a curandero to protect him from whatever demon they believed was trying to snatch him. Wow. Well, that got deep fast, didn't it? I remember going with them after I told my mum what I saw. Ever since, whenever a person with negative intentions comes towards me or gets too close, I get a piercing headache. My cousin was so little, he didn't remember any of it, and only knows our sides of the stories. Even though he was the one having the experiences, he's the lucky one to not remember. Thanks for reading, and if I get any other ghost stories down in words, I'll be sure to share them. Cheers, Michelle Dwight. Well, do, Michelle Dwight. Thank you very much. I did send email you back and say that that was terrifying, because it is terrifying. And I do now need to know what a curandero is. So if you just bear with me 1 second, I'm going to use Google. This will be no time at all to you. But for me, that was quite a few minutes. And as I've Googled and researched the curandero, which is a healer in Portuguese and Spanish traditions and Latin America, and also in the United States and Southern Europe, apparently. It's dedicated to the mental, he's a healer who's dedicated to the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual illnesses. Oh, for certain remedies for them. The role of a curandero can also incorporate the roles of psychiatrist along with that of doctor and healer. Some curanderos, such as Don Pedrito, the healer of Las Olmas, make use of simple herbs, waters, and even mud to effect their cures. Others add Catholic elements, such as holy water and pictures of saints. The use of Roman Catholic prayers and other borrowings and lendings is often found alongside native religious elements. That sounds a little bit like thingy-majig, doesn't it? Voodoo. Voodoo is allegedly like a native worshipy sort of thing that they had to merge with Roman Catholicism in order to be able to practice it. I find it all a bit fascinating. Yes, I do. Anyway, yeah, I think we've all learned something there. I think we can all agree I've had far too much coffee and need to slow down. Shall we have a midpoint? Come on then. Dear Kevin, we would really like you to apologise to everybody who does like German dance music for your mockery each and every episode. Yours sincerely, the German Dance Party Movement.
Sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Es ist schon zu spät für ein Sorry?
Tja, ich war wie ich fragte, was ist es bad und für ein Sorry ist jad? That was not German. It was actually, it was real German. Not what I said, I just tried to do it. But I am sorry to anyone who does like, that was a genuine email. I think they were taking the mick, but so was I. So that's what we call 30 love. Who will win in this game of tennis of German dance music? Stay tuned to find out. Anyway, it's the midpoint. How the devil are you? I hope you're well. I do hope you're well. Please continue to send your wonderful, wonderful and terrifying stories to We Need to Talk About Ghosts. It's not the email address. I will get this right one day. Send it to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com and I will read them out. So that's talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com. Yes, please. You can get us on the Twitter @talkaboutghosts, and you can also get us on Instagram and all that jazz. Go and join the Facebook group because it's wunderbar, it really is. I love it over there. Yes, I do. And we're often there just shooting the breeze and other vague analogies of weather. It's lovely. It really is. Now, if you'd like to be a Patreon to support the page, to support this podcast, in fact, please do go over to patreon.com/ We Need to Talk About Ghosts. And when you're over there, what you'll find is a couple of free episodes over there, extra episodes for Patreons only, which come out once a month. There's a couple already on. There's a video of a silly most haunted thing me and Becca done. There's a few other writings and general chit-chat. So go over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. Now, it's at this point in the proceedings that I would normally sing the Patreon's name. However, we have had a Patreon sign up, the wonderful, wonderful Jay, but I will not be singing Jay's name this week. I will be singing it next week. Several reasons for that. Main one being, I have no musical equipment with me and I could freestyle it. So I tell you what, Jay will get two. So I'll do two songs for Jay. This is the first one for Jay, which is me just freestyling a cappella. So this is for Jay Adams, who's gone over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts and signed up. She gets a very special a cappella, like Billy Joel-esque type of song. Let me see. Jay, I won't even do that. I won't even do that for you. Sorry, it was going to burst into a rap. It would have been offensive to anybody who's alive. So we won't do that. Instead, next week, Jay, you'll get a very, very special musical singing of your name. If you would like to join Jay and have your name sung out next week, then get over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. Now, if you will recall, last week, we did get a very long episode and it was like 52 minutes, 48 minutes, something like that. And that is the future of the show. The future of the show is going to be between 45 minutes and an hour. Like I said last week, it was fully intended to be starting in October. Last week was a bit of a preview of a longer episode. This week will not be like that because we are starting in October. Like I said, we need to stick to the bloody rules. And I need to get stories in, etc. So please, your help and assistance in making this a longer show will be brilliant. So if you could send your stories in to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com, that would be very helpful. Support the show via Patreon to keep the show going. That would be very, very, very grateful. I mean, I would be very grateful, and I'm sure the show would too. So without further ado, let's collapse this midpoint like some superposition from quantum mechanics and get to the one inevitable Schrodinger's cat-esque outcome of more ghost stories. Yes, on the other side. Huzzah! Oh. And we're back with the illest of behaviour, yes, ghost stories. Just a quick shout out to the ones who have signed up to Patreon of the $10 a month or more club. The badges are being arrived. Being arrived? Is that what you're saying? No, of course it's not, you illiterate clown. The badges for the second round of sending out are coming in this week, so they should be with you very, very shortly if you're awaiting a badge. I also, you know what I thought? Normally, there's quite a quid pro quo thing that goes on with podcasts, and it's bloody lovely. I mean, like you will know, I'm an amateur musician, and I will say that the amateur musician scene is very cutthroat. You know, there's not many people doing things for other people. They like to think they are, and they like to say they are, but they're not. But the podcast world's very different to that. It's lovely. It's absolutely lovely. So therefore, I'm just going to say that, like, without any sort of undue prepping or nudging or anything like that, that there are a few podcasts that I would recommend that you go and check out, just off my own back. You probably heard me talk about a couple of them, so Real Life Ghost Stories, go and check them out. They're great, Emma and Dan. Go over and listen to the Ghost Story guys, of course. They are absolutely brilliant and professional to the nth degree, but funny with it. Brendan and Ian, don't throw the D in. And there's also Katie and Morgan at Scary Stories from Camp Roanoke. They're the three that I kind of have on rotation. I listen to others as well, but you know, they're the three that I'm like, you know, them memes that go around where you see someone eating noodles outside of looking at a poster and everyone says, this is what it's like listening to podcasts. I listen to them three and they keep me warm inside. So I would suggest you go and do it, you know. Now, I'm not looking for any praise there, you know. I'm not trying to say I'm good or anything or I'm a nice guy, but do go and check those podcasts out because they're lovely and they're great and they do deserve everybody's ears. That's what I say. Go give them your ears. Anyway, enough of my crappy accents. And what we'll do is we'll crack on with another tale. And this story has come in from a lovely listener called Jenny Calloway. That's a nice name, isn't it? Jenny Calloway, like a golf club. And she says, hi, Kevin. The title of her email is Haunted House Museum. Ooh, la la la. I love the show. It's all very British, which is one of the reasons I adore it so. Aw, thank you. My husband and I vacationed in the Cotswolds and have been and surrounding areas in the fall of 2017 and have been dying to get back ever since. Stourhead Gardens were amazing, and if you've never been, I highly recommend a visit. I've never been, and I thank you for the recommendation. Where are we? We also went into Scotland and did a ghost tour in Edinburgh. That took us into one of those closes. It was so creepy. I hope it was Mary King's Close. I have been there, and it is freaky. Anyway, enough about my Brit obsession. No, tell me more. Tell me more. Did you get very far? Tell me more. Like, does he have a motorcycle? Aha, aha. Anyway, I have several stories that I hope to send over to you in time. Please do. But I'll start with this historic house museum where I volunteered for most of my childhood through college. This is going to be a long story. Bum, 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 bum. So if you need to break it up over several episodes, I completely understand. Well, no, you know, as you may have heard on this and last week's, we are trying to, although we're not officially doing these longer shows yet, we are willing to go over. Yeah, we are. We're willing to do that for the people. For the people. Anyway. The Robert Toombs House in a small southeastern USA town, Washington, Georgia. I know Washington, Georgia. I've never been. I do know of it, though. About 2 hours east of Atlanta, has been a museum since 1980. The original structure was built in 1796 and evolved into a 10,000-square-foot Greek Revival mansion that is only one of the many antebellum structures in the city limits. Just a couple of years after the last heirs, two spinsters by the name of Marion and Kathleen Colley passed away. Their nieces and nephews sold the home and most of its contents to the state of Georgia. They started restoration right away, and my great-aunt Nita was hired to oversee the construction and inventory, all the priceless antiques. My great-aunt was a cantankerous woman and one I admired in many ways. She lived well into her 90s and was travelling to Europe, giving guided tours in Ireland and Italy in her 80s. She was a badass, and I hope to have some of those genes. She sounds wonderful. I do like that. Oh, by the way, you are also having the privilege of the section of the podcast for the scary story. Scary. Don't pronounce the R. Scary. And just to say, your description there of your great aunt Nita very quickly reminds me of a story that my dad told me the other day. He said, and I didn't know this, that my nan's grandmother, was an English lady on one side, apparently. Although my nan's Irish, she was from, where's my nan from? Wexford. But she had an English great-great-grandmother who lived in Liverpool when my dad was growing up, apparently. And when my nan used to go around to see if she was all right, she was like very like well-to-do in her mind, but apparently had a gambling problem. And my nan would said to me, Dad, that when she would go around to see if she was okay, she was very well spoken. And she'd be like, yes, come, and things like that. But when you'd go in, they'd be drinking tea out of jam jars because they'd sold all the crockery. Mwah, mwah, mwah. Oh, gambling addictions. Anyway, so you've just told us about your wonderful great aunt Nita. She sounds like a badass, as you say. As I'm sure you've heard before, ghosts tend to make themselves known when renovations start. And I believe this encounter was directly related that the major construction taking place in the house had started this up. Just so you have more context, the house is laid out like a T. The top of the T is comprised of the original 1797 structure and the two flanking wings that were added in the 1870s. And the bottom line of the T faces the main road through town, named for Robert Toombs, and contains a large central hallway slash foyer with 12-foot arch that opens to the back of the home and formal parlours on either side. Very good. The original grand staircase is directly through the archway and is what I would consider a major focal point, and I'm sure we would all agree. Since the stairway was part of the 1797 home and has been used every day since that time, I believe it's full of residual energy. One warm summer day, the construction workers, who had been labouring over the staircase for a couple of weeks, heard the mantel clock strike 5 p.m. They put down their tools and made their way down to the daylight basement where my great aunt was located, sorting through the inventory. They bid her a good evening and exited the back door. She continued to work on the task at hand until she noticed sunlight shifting through the windows and decided it was time to call it a day as well. She started closing doors, turning off lights, and making sure all exterior entrances were secure. She ascended a small staircase to the first floor and walked across into the hall, taking care to step around toolboxes, power cords, and piles of discarded wood scraps, locking windows and doors along the way. As you can tell, by Kevin's voice, he's now getting into this story. As she rounded the corner, putting her hand on the newel post to start a long climb to the second floor, she looked up and was instantly paralysed with fear from the sight before her. Here we go. I knew this was coming. On the landing directly above, illuminated by the golden streams of a late summer's day setting sun coming through the windows across the way, was a lady in a long, white, Edwardian gown. Her hair was pulled up in a Gibson girl style, perfectly coiffed and highlighting her high cheekbones. She looked at my aunt and smiled as if to say, "I just want you to know that I'm here and I appreciate you looking after my home." Oh, not that scary then. I'll be honest, it still is. Although she didn't feel threatened, my aunt quickly ran downstairs and exited the house. Clever auntie. Not bothering to secure the rest of the doors. After that day, she would hear footsteps and voices upstairs and the occasional door slam. She refused to go to the upper floors alone. She even started calling her sister, one of my other great aunts, to help her close up the site because she didn't want to be alone with the lady in white. To my knowledge, she never saw her again. When the restoration was complete, the home opened to the public in 1980. Aunt Nita decided it was time to move on to another project. Not long after, her sister Peggy, in brackets, the one that used to help her close up, close brackets, was hired to be the site curator. Aunt Peggy heard things in the house and would occasionally be woken to an early morning, like 2 a.m, police phone call because the motion detectors were set off. Other than those little things, she never experienced anything of note. I'll be honest with you, the police arriving because they say something's moving around your house at 2 a.m, that's enough of note that I would need. Fast forward to the mid-90s, and Aunt Peggy was at the point of retiring and a man named Marty became the site manager. Marty was a very kind and calm man, with a DeLorean and a penchant for time travel. Sorry, I threw that in. I do apologise. He was an extremely intelligent with a dry sense of humour. Not the type of person that told stories with alacrity? I haven't seen that word, therefore what a word. And he could be quite boring on a tour. Ha-ha! But he did a great job managing the site. The ghosts must have liked him too. On a regular basis, he experienced odd things. People calling his name, in brackets, when no one was there, close brackets. Doors slamming and the sound of footsteps overhead. He even witnessed a full apparition of a Victorian gentleman in top hat and tails walk out of the ladies' parlour, turn down the hallway and disappear. It was so real that he called after him thinking he must have been a visitor, just to find that he was alone in the house. But one of the strangest things he experienced was an intelligent haunting. As part of the museum, a doorbell was put on the daylight basement entrance. It was rather loud and annoying, making an ominous sounding ding dong whenever the door was opened. I mean, it might not have been that low. It might have been like ding dong, but she said ominous ding dong. Anyway, whenever the door was opened. One morning, Marty was opening the site and unlocked the door, entered the hall and rushed to the alarm to turn it off. Once it was disarmed, they realised that the doorbell never rang. He walked back into the entrance hall and it was sitting on the floor. He figured it had fallen off when he locked up the afternoon before. No big deal. So he put it back on the door securely and went about his day. A couple of days later, he came in the door to find that once again the doorbell was on the entranceway floor. He put it back on the door, but this time secured it with duct tape, thinking, "There, that should do it. Not going anywhere this time." That next week was pretty quiet and normal. The doorbell stayed in place and life went on as usual. He locked up at the end of a Saturday and left for 2 days off. Upon his return on Tuesday morning, he walked to the door, unlocked the large ancient deadbolt with a loud click and opened the door. No doorbell. He hastily looked around the floor behind the furniture. Still no doorbell. So he turned, walked up the ramp into the first exhibit room to turn off the alarm. And there, sitting in the very middle of the room, was the doorbell. Like someone had put it there intentionally to say, "I hate that noise. Since you don't get my subtle hints, I hope this gets your attention." It was Mick Jagger. She doesn't say that. Needless to say, he decided to permanently remove the doorbell. One last story about this house that takes place around the infamous grand staircase, and is one of my personal favourites. The programme manager, Marcia, that was the only other employee during the time that Marty managed the site, other than Marty, was like a second mother to me. As programme manager, she organised major tours and events that took place annually on the site. One of those events was a Christmas tour of homes. Every year, the whole town would welcome visitors, and many of the historic residences opened their doors for people to marvel at their grandeur. At the Tombs House, all guides, including myself, would dress in period attire, and then in brackets, she says, hoop skirts included, of course, and acted as if we lived in the 1850s. The house was always beautifully decorated with live greenery, citrus fruits, gilded dried flowers, and many of the historically appropriate decorations. One evening, around 6 p.m, Marcy was working in the ladies' parlour after hours. She was putting on finishing touches to the fireplace mantle, which has large French vases on either side, from the original collection of Robert Tombs and his wife Julia. A long crocheted pale pink shawl was in the parlour draped across the couch. It was used as a prop but had been part of the home's collection since before the state took over. It wasn't old enough to belong to Julia Tombs, but could have definitely belonged to the spinster sisters that were the last people to reside in the home. Marcia finished straightening the last bit of gilded magnolia leaves, reached down to grab the pink shawl, which she draped around her shoulders so she wouldn't forget it, and backed out into the main hallway to take in the whole parlour, making sure it looked historically appropriate and festive. As she stood there, eyes scanning the room in front of her, something to her left on the stairway caught her eye. She turned slightly to see two bare feet ascending the stairs, almost out of eyesight past the archway. Right above the feet was the lacy hem of a nightgown, and trailing behind, the fringe of that pink crocheted shawl which was draped around her own shoulders. Of course, when she stepped through the arch, giving the full attention to the stairway, no one was there, but she knew it wasn't her imagination. It was as if the spirit was letting Marcia know that that was her scarf, and she appreciated it being used. Can I just say, I like the attitude that all of these have taken. You know, it's like if I wore a dead man's coat and then he's showing up. I could say, and then he's showing up as if to say, don't wear my bloody coat or I'll rip your head off. But you're taking the angle of, and he showed up as in to say, that really suits you. You should wear more of my attire. I like it very much. Very positive. Your glass is half full, sir. Let's see. Okay. Even now, people will see apparitions in various locations. They will have doors slammed right in front of them and experience odd things that simply can't be explained. Once a clairvoyant visited and took a tour, she walked around upstairs on a self-guided tour, and when she went downstairs to leave, she casually mentioned to a staff member that there were 4 to 6 spirits in the house at all times, and Robert Tombs himself is in and out because he likes to visit other places too. Fair enough. Well done. Thanks so much for taking the time to read this. Like I mentioned before, I know it's super long, so if you can't read it on the podcast, I understand. Hey, come on. But I have some others to send and we'll try to keep them to a minimum. No, Jenny, I insist you send them all, even if they're as long as that, because they're wonderful. Hope you have a great rest of your week, she says. Jenny Calloway. Well, thank you, Jenny. That is a great story and it was a pleasure to read out. Now, before we do say au revoir for this, just to say, 37 and a half minutes thus far podcast, yes. We have had another email in from one of our Patreons, one of our Patreon producers, yes, sir, Mr. Anthony Ward Esquire, the chairman of the Ouija board. And he said, that's a second email. You can't read that. That's private between me and Anthony. He's not Scottish either. He was talking about, obviously, the EVP that was played last week. And he said, hey, Kev, that EVP on the last episode was similar to the one that the guys at Astonishing Legends podcast caught at the Sally House. A guttural noise and the people in the room do not hear it. This reminded me of an event that happened to me years back. My second wife was away at a family reunion and I wasn't able to attend because of work. I hadn't heard from her and was getting slightly worried. Where I worked at the time was a secure location and we were not allowed to have our cell phones on. So to get messages, you had to go off-site and turn on the phone. I had a message from my mother, which was usual, and then I got the voicemail from my wife. She has a real breathy way of speaking, so she drew in the air to say, hi babe, we made it. Sorry it took so long to call, but there was a real bad accident on the 101. And which he then explains is US Highway 101 that runs from Los Angeles to Turnwater, Washington. When she said hi, I could distinctly hear a man's voice say really fast, I've been calling. When she came back, I played it for her. She then tells me that the accident she had been it through was of a motorcycle and she thought that the victim was male. Unfortunately, I don't have access to this voicemail any longer as this was in 2004. Thanks, man. Take care and give our best to Becca and your family. Well, thank you, Anthony, and you and yours. But it's interesting, isn't it? These EVPs, I have literally today went online and ordered a handheld Taz Cami sort of voice recorder because he had to go at one on the weekend and they're brilliant. And I'm going to buy one and we're going to go and do some offsite stuff finally. I've got a few locations in mind, but because it's handheld, I could go into a field. If somebody says, hey, you know that, you know that fella's front garden, it's haunted. I could go, right, here we go. Whereas currently, as you seen last year for the Halloween special at Blackburn House, I'd have to take the microphone, the 8-track, the laptop, the everything, the headphones, Whereas now, when I just get this one, like, it looks the size of a mobile phone, but the audio quality is exceptional. Oh. I sound like Courtney Love then, I think. Oh, speaking of Courtney Love, she just made me laugh because she's on Instagram and she's shared a picture of this like person who she's saying is like a female guru because she's got hairy legs. Not Courtney Love, this woman. And she's like, look at this. She breathes in air and she breathes out vanity and materialism. I'm like, yeah, but she's still on Instagram. And that's clearly a photo shoot. And then it made me think, I wonder if Jesus would have Instagram. Do you think there'd be like a boomerang video of him going, water, wine, water, wine, water, wine? I don't know. But maybe we should all think of these things. Anyway, you guys have, as ever, have been wunderspaßen. It's 40 minutes, 40 minutes, 41 seconds now. There you go. As I say, next week I will be singing Jay's name, Jay Adams, but with actually, with guitars and stuff, yeah, yeah. And if you'd like your name sung out, get over to patreon.com/ we need to talk about ghosts. Make sure that you check out the other podcast that I mentioned in the show. Not for any benefit for me, but just for you, because they're good shows and, you know, you'll thank me for it. And if you don't, then you're just ignorant. I joke, of course. Yeah, and until next week, I hope you all have a wonderful week. Do send your stories in to talkaboutghosts@hotmail.com and I will read them out. I love you all. Tatty, tatty, tatty bye.